From the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, health officials have worked to track the spread of the virus. The work requires making contact with patients who test positive and finding out who else they might have exposed, as well as how they might have contracted the virus. The Abilene-Taylor County Public Health District added 44 staff members to help handle the workload locally. Julia Agawu is the lead COVID epidemiologist for the Abilene-Taylor County Public Health District and joins me by phone. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Now, as part of your job, you oversee the contact tracers. I'm curious if you can just kind of describe what a typical day looks like for that work.
So for contact tracers, we have a long list of all the positives that have been reported to the health department. And so most of our contact tracers are working from home. And so they are able to, when their shift starts, they basically log in. They'll collect the necessary background information for that particular case. Which can include testing information, information about their hospitalization, if they may have been hospitalized for their COVID illness, and maybe even whether they're alive or not, to determine if we might be speaking with a next of kin. So once they've gathered all that information, they'll go ahead and call the patient. We have a long list of questions that we have for the patient, which typically includes where they work, what kind of symptoms they had, what kind of exposures they had, so how they could have possibly gotten COVID, and then, of course, who they may have exposed during their daily activities. And then after that, we'll also educate them on the self-isolation and quarantine guidelines for their close contacts. After that interview, we then do a lot of data entry. We have reporting that needs to go to the state, so we'll do some of that data entry. And then we also have some internal reports that we will need to do. So it's kind of a simple process, but it does take quite a bit of work.
And then do you follow up with the people that they may have had close contact with?
Yes. So as long as the person that tests positive provides us with the contact information for those close contacts, as soon as we're done with the main investigation for the positive case, we actually immediately call the close contacts right after that conversation.
And are the patients helpful and open to sharing the information that you guys need?
To be honest, it's been kind of a mixed bag. I find that, at the beginning of the pandemic, people were very open. But I think now, as people know a lot more about COVID and kind of expect our calls, a lot of times we'll kind of get, oh, no, I don't want to give out that information, but we'll just go ahead and let our close contacts know. So it's definitely makes the process a little bit more difficult. But even when those cases show up, we try and equip them with the right information so that if they are the ones that are going to give that education because they don't want to provide phone numbers, at least they're going to give their close contacts the true CDC recommendations.
Well, how else has the work changed over the months from the beginning and early days of contact tracing to today?
So I would say at the beginning, we were kind of just told you have to do contact tracing, and there really weren't any tools. And then, of course, at that time, because I was the only person really working on contact tracing at the time, it was just me. So I kind of had to build our investigation forms and how we were going to document certain things and what the reports might look like. And now it's a lot different. The state has rolled out Texas Health Trace, which is a program that allows us to do contact tracing a lot more efficiently. A lot of the information and recording is going in there, which is very helpful. It helps us organize our data. And then, of course, we have had to hire a whole bunch of people just to keep up with the workload. So I'm no longer really, doing those individual investigations. And now I kind of take a bird's eye view and look at some of the results from those investigations.
So I understand that initially the contact tracers had regular contact with the patients until they were released, but that's not really how it's going anymore. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Just because there's so many people, we're we're reporting 100 plus cases sometimes, you know, each day. So we don't necessarily have the capacity to do daily checks, and most jurisdictions don't really have the capacity to do that. So right now, we do that initial phone call, give the instructions on what they're supposed to be doing each day. And then at the end of their self-isolation, if they were still having symptoms during our initial conversation, we will call them back on that last or, you know, second to last day of self-isolation just to check up on them, see if they're still having symptoms. If they are, then we'll go ahead and schedule another follow-up call and give them instructions on staying at home, even though you've passed the 10 days, until you're clear of those symptoms. So it's not every single day, but we are checking to make sure that people are at least recovered or not having, you know, significant symptoms before they go back to their regular activities.
Now, you mentioned the workload, and last weekend, more than 400 Taylor County residents joined the list of COVID-19 patients. So when you have that large of a number of patients getting positive results, is it hard to keep up?
Oh, it's definitely hard to keep up. But luckily, we have such an amazing group of people that work at the health department. So when that happens, we typically pull from different departments to kind of help get in touch with patients. So what we do is, instead of the contact tracer being the very first person that's, you know, scheduled to make a call with a case, we've switched it now to where we have other people in the health department, and they will call just to simply notify and give some very basic information just to prevent further spread. So instead of waiting for a contact tracer that might, you know, take a couple days or, you know, 3 to 4 days to get to that person, now we have someone that will contact them the same day that we receive that report and just let them know, you know, we've gotten your report. These are your self-isolation guidelines. Stay at home for 10 days. If you have any close contacts, go ahead and call them right now. And then we're going to go ahead and email you a letter and a care guide, and then just expect to have a more in-depth conversation with a contact tracer later on in maybe a few days. So that really helps in making sure that people are getting the information that they need right then and there, and then we can follow up and ask those in-depth questions and then, you know, do those one-on-one calls with the close contacts, even though the case should have already reached out because of our notification call.
You mentioned that you're taking more of a bird's eye view at this point. I'm wondering what the work you're doing shows as far as how the virus is spreading in Taylor County, whether it's social gatherings or people getting it while they're out in public. What is it that you're gathering from the information?
So for right now, what we're mainly seeing is that most people are getting it from other close contacts. Most of the time, it's household members that have tested positive and, you know, they're getting their, you know, siblings and parents ill, or it can be through work or possibly other social gatherings. But we're seeing that the vast majority of cases are coming from those close contacts, and then we just have a small percentage that are coming from community-acquired cases. And that just means that there are no specific exposures that could have been discovered. So they may have just gone to the store and possibly been exposed, but we don't know the specific exposure.
Did you see the big bump in cases that people were predicting would happen due to the holidays?
Yes, we are. And that's kind of part of the big increase of cases this week. We're seeing a lot of those cases are kind of residual from holiday gatherings and, you know, that holiday season where people were having a lot of gatherings. We're finding that a lot of people have tested positive from that time period.
And is there anything surprising that you're hearing from patients as, you know, you talk to the people that are working on contact tracing? Are there curious stories or details that you're finding out?
Not necessarily, I guess I'd say surprising, just because we've kind of been at this for months now. So I think everything that you could have possibly heard, we've pretty much heard before. I would say the one thing that sometimes surprises me and also troubles me is maybe the lack of education. And for some people, every once in a while we'll hear people that have tested positive, but they still continue to go and do their daily activities. So it might just signify that there's some more education that needs to be happening when people do go get tested. And we sometimes see the same thing for people that have been exposed and need to quarantine. They know they've been exposed, but they still have symptoms, and they still kind of go about their daily activities because they think it's just allergies, or, you know, it's just something that they ate the day before. So sometimes those things, you know, come up, and they do surprise me, even though we're 6 months plus, you know, with this pandemic.
So at this point, what is the number one piece of information that you wish people had, or a piece of advice that you would give to people as we're kind of counting down the days till people have enough of the vaccine in the community to start getting a little bit back to normal? In the meantime, what's your number one piece of advice?
I think the number one piece of advice I would say is to take this as seriously as we took it back when this first started. Right now, I think that we're kind of dealing with a lot of like quarantine fatigue. So we're just tired of, and I definitely understand it, but we're tired of being indoors. You know, we're tired of wearing a mask. We're tired of, you know, kind of being shut in, and we want to just get back to regular activities. But at the end of the day, COVID is just as serious as it was when it first started. We have people getting infected at very high rates still, and that's leading to dramatic increases in hospitalizations, which then also leads to increases in deaths. You know, so while you might be young or you might not have the underlying conditions and you think that it's not a severe illness for you, at the end of the day, you participating in social distancing and wearing your mask can help protect those that are around you that might be at higher risk. And that, you know, if they catch COVID, they may pass, you know, because it would affect them differently. So I think that'd be my number one advice, to take it as seriously as we did, and make sure you're always wearing your mask, washing your hands, social distancing, trying to stay away from those large gatherings, small indoor gatherings, even if it's just your friends and family and people you know. We're still not out of the woods yet.
Well, Julia Agawu, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Julia Agawu is the lead COVID epidemiologist for the Abilene-Taylor County Public Health District. She supervises contact tracing in the county. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.